Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Reed, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter. And I have the best freaking job in the world talking poker with my friends here on the Strategy Forums edition of the podcast every Monday night while we steal each other's chips in the free nightly home game. Now, this is a special edition of the Forums edition of the podcast. We're going to talk about a particular mixed game tonight. This is going to be all about limit hold'em, and we're going to get some great tips from some fantastic players and Wrecking Crew members. But first, I have to mention that we're brought to you by Running Aces, the official sponsor of the Rec Poker Podcast. And most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, so we depend on support from our sponsors and from our premium members. You can sign up for a free account anytime at rec.poker. All it takes is an email address and a smile, although we do insist on both. Or you can get your first month of premium membership by using the code RECPOKER at checkout. You can get your first month for only $5. So come and check us out. Now, they let me host the show on Mondays, but I'm just one man, and it takes a group, a gang, a crew to make the magic happen here at Rec Poker. We call this group of wizards the Wrecking Crew. Of course we do. And if you want to learn more about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew and find a bunch of smiling faces there, or you can just listen up because you're going to meet a few of them here tonight, starting with our own home game director, none other than John Somsky.
I am John Somsky, also known as Poker Geek MN everywhere, and I run our home games.
And I'm Rob Washam. You can find me as Rabman50 just about everywhere. And I run a book study on the first and third Wednesdays of every month.
I'm Taylor Moss. You can find me on Twitter at Taylor_Moss or as GopherBoy, TJM, in the Rec Poker home game, which I stream every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/recpoker.
These are just a few of the amazing folks here at Rec Poker on the Wrecking Crew that make the magic happen. One of the things that we've been doing this year is playing a different mixed game every month. So each month we play a different tournament that's part of our Player of the Year series. It's on the second Wednesday of the month. And we play a different mixed game every month as part of that series. We'll be releasing an episode each month going over sort of the mechanics and some strategy advice about how to play that mixed game. And then you can listen to the podcast and practice for free in our free home game club, which is a great way to get better at playing against other recreational players who are trying to improve without having to go and put real money on the table. So we think this is a fantastic way of doing it. And this month, it's all about limit hold'em. So those practice games are on the third, fourth, and fifth Wednesday of every month. And if you're listening live or you're listening the day this comes out, that first practice game is tomorrow. But if you're waiting till later in the week, you've still got a couple opportunities to practice and jump in and have some fun with Limit Hold'em before we play it for real on the second Wednesday next month. So, Legion, assemble. We've got some Wrecking Crew members in here. We're going to be hearing from some fantastic poker pros and coaches later. But John Somsky, you're the man when it comes to the Rec Poker Home Game Club. Tell us a little bit about Limit Hold'em, why you like it, why we're playing it, and how the heck do we play it?
Well, that's the concept we're introducing this month is Limit Poker. And we're doing it with a game that most of us are all very familiar with, Hold'em. The difference, though, is you have but one bet size to choose every time you make a bet, or one raise size to choose. So Limit Hold'em is played exactly like No Limit Hold'em. You have two blinds and then a person under the gun, and it moves around the table, dealt the exact same way. But when you are betting, the first round, two rounds, you bet what's known as the small bet. The small bet is also the same size typically as the big blind. So one big blind is exactly what you would be betting, and you can bet or raise in increments of that. So if under the gun, or the blinds have already opened it to one big blind, so under the gun can choose to either hold, call that one big blind, or raise to two big blinds. Likewise, the next person can call the two or raise to three, so forth and so on. There usually is a cap on raises when you're not heads up in limit hold'em of four or five raises, depending upon the room that you're playing in.
And that's per street, John, like per round of betting. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. Per round of betting. So if it's a four raise cap, then the most you could put in, or a four bet cap, the most you could bet on any round would be four bets, whatever the betting size is. And then on third street, or on preflop and flop, you are betting the small bet. And then for the turn and the river, your bet size doubles. That's what's known as the big bet. Typically, it doubles, at least. There are times in tournaments, especially, where it won't be the exact ratio, but that's the basic idea. The third and fourth, or turn and river, will have double the bet size. So what this means is some weak speculative hands, you can't play as well because you won't be able to get as much money in normally. That makes sense. However, to counteract that, because it's limit hold'em and because you can't put as much pressure on with bets, people are often getting the right pot odds. So you'll instead be getting odds by the number of people in the bet rather than the implied odds of future, you know, stacking your opponent. The goal is not to stack your opponent in this. It's to win or save bets on your individual streets.
And so I guess that also means you can't, so sort of like you're saying, like set mining, for instance, doesn't make as much sense because you can't get in enough once you've made the set to make it worth fishing for that opportunity. So I'm guessing that you're going to be sticking mostly to, you know, large pairs, large unpaired cards, like Broadway cards. And what about hands like suited connectors? Are they at all valuable in a format like this?
Yeah, you can actually, in limit, you can often play suited connectors more often because there will be so many people coming in. The key is, you know, if it doesn't fit your hand, you can get out early and not invest too much money. And you really want to take advantage of the turn and river. That's if you've got your hand, if you've made your hand, you want to make sure you're betting there to get as much value as you can. It's also the spot where your bluffs are going to have the biggest amount of effect because, again, the bet size has doubled.
Although it's interesting because compared to a no limit game, you know, the size of your bluffs are capped relative to the pot. So I could understand that it was you might have less fold equity on later streets because your bet is smaller relative to the pot, kind of like the spread limit that we see in Minnesota. It does kind of limit your ability to just like fire a few big bluffs on different streets. You just can't do that.
Absolutely. And you do need to keep in mind what your pot odds are. Mm. So if there's a large pot and you think 90% of the time I'm going to lose this pot, but you only have to put 5% of the pot in,
right?
Get it? Then you're getting the right pot odds. So you have to be careful not to fold when you have the proper equity to call so that you aren't losing that value. On the other hand, you don't want to just say throw your bets in and just call down to the river every time, because it's really important to save and make bets. You cannot. Mm-hmm. In no limit hold'em, you can make a largest mistake and recover from that in one huge pot. With limit hold'em, it's more slow and steady. You have to continually save bets by not wasting them and make extra bets, make those value bets when it's appropriate in order to win more money in your pots.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. The discipline of knowing when to save a bet and when to go for the raise and when to not is a very big, it really helps determine whether you're a winning player or not. Taylor, Rob, did you have anything you want to jump in with there, Taylor?
Yeah, we were talking a bit about fold equity, and I think limit hold'em is kind of the interesting game when it comes to fold equity. I think you normally think about no limit hold'em, you think about fold equity, and it's you know, on later streets trying to get big bluffs through, or in other situations where, you know, you've got a good draw, but you're going to semi-bluff with this hand, and if your opponent folds, they folded, you know, a worse hand than you, but if they called you, you still had the ability to kind of hit that hand. It flips a lot in limit hold'em because your semi-bluffs are less effective due to the pot size, and when you're in already a big pot, all your bets are way smaller in comparison to the pot size. So then your fold equity goes down due to that. You actually have more fold equity in the smaller pots when there hasn't been much betting, when it checks through on the flop, and then you can take an action on the turn where the pot odds are much worse for your opponent. That's the situations where you have fold equity. It's not the situations where you kind of, you know, go for a triple barrel, if you will. When you go for a triple barrel, your fold equity by the end is very small. But when you go for a single barrel, that's actually where you have, you know, the fold equity and can get your opponents to fold in certain spots. So it's really kind of changing your line of thinking about what are your bets trying to accomplish in limit hold'em.
And I can see there's also a real metagame going on there as well, because when I know that you know that I know that there's not a lot of fold equity, that means I can actually still bluff in some spots, and you know, you're gonna think, well, he shouldn't really be bluffing here because he doesn't have a lot of fold equity. So I can see how that element of limit hold'em really comes down to sort of like, is he or isn't he, which explains, I you know, as a precursor to no limit hold'em, I think that kind of fits with that era of poker really well, and sort of like how we thought about poker, and what made us good at poker back in those times. Speaking of back in those times, Rob, what's on your mind?
Yeah, back in those times, there was a time when I was playing online and you couldn't find a no limit game. Everything was limit.
Yeah,
that's what we grew up on. And of course, living in Minnesota for all my life, it was they didn't have limit hold'em even when everybody else was jumping on the bandwagon. A couple of things that I'm reminded of from the old days. First of all, when you have a flush draw on the flop, a lot of times you want to check and then check raise because you know somebody's going to bet on that flop. And you're not actually looking to try to get folds because you're probably not going to get folds. But what you're doing is you're building the pot so that when you do hit your flush, that you have a much bigger pot to win. So it's kind of different than no limit hold'em, where you're using that as a semi bluff, like Taylor was talking about, where you try to get a bunch of money in to try to get your opponent to fold. And it's called a semi bluff, right? But really in limit hold'em, a lot of times when you have that flush draw, it's not so much you're trying to get your opponents to fold, but you're trying to build up a pot. So it's even more worthwhile when you do hit your flush. And another thing, like John mentioned, there's going to be a lot of people in the pot. Mm. There's no such thing as isolating, right? There's no isolating. I mean, people are going to be calling with a lot of, you know, suited connectors, you know, just any old two cards that could possibly make a hand. And who can blame them? It's cheap. People are going to try to get in. I try to play still a very structured set of opening hands. I don't, you know, I'm not going to play 5-7 offsuit, but I might play 6-7 offsuit, you know, because it does have that, you know, so there's a lot of different differences to how you play no limit hold'em from when you play limit hold'em.
And I can see why it's much easier to sort of play hands that want to see a flop when you know that the pre-flop betting is going to be capped at, you know, four big blinds. Like if you're telling me I can get to a flop for four big blinds, like, yeah, I want to play a lot of those connected hands and those suited hands. And try and see a flop. Even though, as John points out at the beginning of the show, you're probably not going to be able to get paid enough to really make it worth it. But I also know that Hold'em's the game, or Limit Hold'em's the game to go play when you want to just like play for a long time and enjoy a drink and a social time, because it's not like No Limit Hold'em where you can just go bust in one big hand. You're gonna bleed. You're gonna have a slow bleed, which is a nice way to sort of like spend some time playing poker, I must say. John.
I was going to mention a few things. One is David Sklansky, when he wrote his advanced theory for No Limit Limit Hold'em or something, he wrote in a Limit Hold'em book. And according to him, a good earn rate that a professional player would have would be two big bets per hour playing live cash.
Hmm.
So that's four big blinds per hour. So you can see, like, if you're playing 1-2 Limit Hold'em, you're not going to be winning a whole lot there. That's why typically if you're playing Limit Hold'em, you try to get up to stakes of like 15, 30, or 20, 40 to counteract the rake and to be able to make money when you're playing live. Another thing is you want to be very careful about slow playing. Because you have one single bet size, you need to make the most of it when you have the hand, and you can't afford to do a lot of slow playing on that because you don't have huge implied equity. The pot does not grow geometrically. It grows linearly with every bet. And then the third thing is one trick you can use in Limit Hold'em that you don't, or that's even more powerful, I should say, in Limit Hold'em that isn't as important in No Limit, is the delayed C-bet. Because if you are sitting there and let's say you hit second pair on the turn, you raise the flop, got checked around to you, the delayed C-bet now, you are putting in two big bets on the turn as opposed to a single small bet, or two small bets. Big bet, you know, so you're giving them a worse price so you can get more fold equity by using the delayed C bet occasionally.
I love it. Right on. Well, John, Taylor, Rob, thanks for this breakdown. Let's go hear what some other fantastic poker minds have to say about the great game of Limit Hold'em. All right, Chad McVean, give us a little advice on how to best play Limit Hold'em.
Limit Hold'em is best played in the garbage can.
Just ditch it. Don't even play it. That's your advice.
Do you like a game where you can just keep drawing and hopefully you'll win and it doesn't cost you a lot? This is your game. Do you like a game where you start with a solid hand and you want to bet people out? This is not your game.
All right. Chris Fox Wallace, give me a tip on how to play Limit Hold'em.
I've worked a lot with a friend who's a very advanced, like world-class Limit Hold'em player, and really learned a lot about how the modern game plays as opposed to the old things we did in Minnesota. And what cues me in to the fact that someone can really play Limit Hold'em is when I see them take a round off with a hand like, you know, on a ragged flop, and they have King Jack, right? And you check to them, and they don't bet their King High. Right, that's an indication that this person can really play, because a beginner will bet that hand and just hope you fold, and if you don't, they'll call a raise and then see how the turn goes, right? But if you take a round off, now you make life really hard for your opponent. Now, what do they bet into you every time you take a round off? And if so, you know, you've probably got four outs to hit a pair, but also you may take a round off with a big hand. You've made their life a lot harder. And you can also then, you know, against aggressive opponents, sometimes you're calling down with King High if you've taken the first round off, right? But you don't want to be doing that, betting, getting raised, and then calling two more big bets with King High, right? That's going a little far. So knowing when to take a round off and when to bet your hands, you know, don't be bet off your equity like in PLO. And in Limit Hold'em, you've got like an absurd amount of equity so many times compared to the bet you're going to have to call.
All right, Louis Hillman, give me some tips on how to play Limit Hold'em.
Yes, the great game of Limit Hold'em, Jim. I, like a lot of people, I cut my teeth playing Limit Hold'em when I first got into the game way back when. Contrary to popular belief, there is strategy in Limit Hold'em. Of course, it's a very different strategy than No Limit. And the way I, you know, the way I think about this game, and one of the pieces of advice I would give to somebody learning it for the first time, is it really is a game of showdowns. You can expect to get to the river and have to show down your hand against your opponent, which will make some of these tips more relevant. So one of the things that you're trying to do in Limit Hold'em is to isolate, to really realize your equity and not play multi-way hands, which is very different than especially No Limit Hold'em, where sometimes playing multi-way hands is preferable, right? So things like small pocket pairs go down way in value. They're very hard to play, and it is very hard to realize your equity, right? And there was a hand for my World Series of Poker final table last summer where the button raised and I was in the small blind with pocket fours. And it's really a decision where I have to either decide to three bet or fold. Calling is not an option. Calling is a massive mistake, playing that hand out of position three ways. I made the decision, the proper decision, because of my stack size, to fold, and was rewarded with missing out on quads. So, but it was the strategic proper decision, right? So three bet or fold, you're trying to isolate. Typically in a tournament, especially, you're going to be playing somewhere between 4 to 10 bets, right? So 4 to 10 big bets. So one of the key strategies or concepts to understand is the importance of saving a bet, making that tough fold on the river for one big bet, where really you would never do that in No Limit Hold'em. And there are a lot of times you'll get to the river in a tournament where it is way better to check call, even though you might think that you can go for a bet for value, because you're trying to avoid the dreaded bet and get raised, and now you're paying off two bets on the river. Where if you have four, you know, big bets, which is room to work in Limit Hold'em, any limit game, it's really costly to lose two of them.
Yep.
But in the tournament, as you're accumulating your chip stack, it is really important to be willing to bet lighter, where No Limit Hold'em on the river, you know, the risk of making a thin value bet and getting blown off your hand because of a big punishing check raise, you don't face that because you only have to call one more bet. I know I'm saying things that are contradictory, but there are different points in the tournament how you think about it. So while you're accumulating the importance of finding those thin value spots and getting that extra bet will be really important. And I can just think of one hand, an example where I got to the river with third pair, but a good kicker, you know, and I made the value bet in position day one of the tournament. My opponent thought, eventually called it off and, you know, kind of looked at me and said, "I can't believe you made that value bet." But that is like, it's a game of inches. So, and then just the last thing in terms of thinking about going through a whole hand, because of the nature of the betting limits being fixed, flop is half a big bet, turn and river are both a full big bet, you should be trying to get your raises in on the turn. Now, that's not like a hard and fast rule, but if you want to think about it as a rule of thumb, the best time to get a raise in is on the turn, because it's for a full bet versus half a bet. And the turn, your opponents, if they're drawing or have a marginal hand that they can still improve, you want to charge them on the turn versus waiting to the river, where if they've missed, they're just going to fold. So that's kind of my key strategy, and definitely recommend trying out the great game of Limit Hold'em poker.
Okay, Mike Patrick, give me a tip on how to play Limit Hold'em.
Well, if you absolutely have to play Limit Hold'em because it's in a mix or something, yeah, I'm not a big Limit Hold'em guy, but I do know how to play it a little bit. The biggest thing is along with many mixed games, don't limp. Just don't limp. It's going to get you in way more trouble than it's going to be worth, because once you start that limp fest and the pot odds go up for other people to come into the pot, it's just going to be multi-way madness, and you really don't want to be doing that. So ideally, to play a hand more effectively, you want to be raising and three betting as opposed to limping and calling. It's just going to keep you out of bad spots. It's going to make your decisions way easier post-flop. And it's just, you know, you're going to get more money in the pot that way with stronger hands. So you don't want to be too speculative with limit hold'em hands. It's just going to be way more trouble than it's worth going five ways with God knows what. So just try to avoid the limping there.
All right, Norman, Chad, give us some tips on how to play limit hold'em.
Limit hold'em is in disfavor. I don't think it should be in disfavor. I understand it doesn't have all the machinations of no limit hold'em. You can never shove all your in. It's one bet. You never shove it all in. It's one bet at a time. But still, when I've watched some great limit hold'em, like the World Series of Poker, and watch these players get that extra bet in or make the right fold, it's really critical to do that. So even though limit hold'em, technically some players would tell you can play it on autopilot, I've seen people playing limit hold'em while doing Wordle, while doing a crossword puzzle, while playing Scrabble online. I saw somebody playing limit hold'em while watching Oppenheimer. But the point is that every bet counts, and you hardly ever fold. You just don't fold a pair in limit hold'em. It's hard to make a pair, so you just hang on for dear life with a pair in limit hold'em.
Robbie Straczynski, give me some advice on how to play limit hold'em.
Bring a pillow. or bring a book, bring something else to do. Limit hold'em is certainly a very basic game. I wouldn't say it's the most fun game. It's a game. Bring a pillow or a book.
I love it. All right.
I don't like limit hold'em. I mean, it's okay.
No, you're right. It's a folding game. It's a game of discipline. That's how I've heard it described.
Okay. I mean, like, be like a, I don't know, the big bracelet events of limit hold'em. Okay, I can just stay focused, but like,
right.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Shannon Vandenberg, please tell me, give me some tips how to play limit hold'em.
Thanks, Jim. I'm going to give you my top three beginner tips would be, first of all, don't limp. If the hand's good enough to play, it's good enough to raise. Don't worry about tactics like check raising. Just bet your hand, because more often than not, for one bet, people are going to come along. So you don't need to try to get fancy. And bluffs are really hard to pull off when the odds are so good for people to call. So just make sure that the story you're telling makes sense. I'm not saying you won't get away with a bluff, but it's just hard. When you look at a pile of money, it costs somebody one bet to put in there and they're getting 12 to 1. A lot of players, especially with a no limit hold'em background, are going to be like, oh, well, I've got the odds to call. And so they do.
All right. Well, that was another fun conversation about mixed games. My thanks to, of course, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino for their support over the years. To John Somsky and the other members of our Wrecking Crew panel here talking about their love of mixed games, and all our fantastic guests who contributed their segments, their thoughts and tips and advice on how to get the most out of some different mixed games that we're going to be playing. So I'd encourage you, head on over to rec.poker, sign up for a free account there. You can go to rec.poker/homegame and find out all about the different mixed games that are being played throughout the year, a different one every month. And I would encourage our listeners, if you're a no limit hold'em player, dip a toe into some of the mixed games. You'll be surprised how much fun you can have. So without further ado, I'll just say thanks for joining us for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. And I hope I get to see you all again next week or sometime real soon. Good luck on the felt, folks. Thanks again. Bye for now.